I want to speak to you just for a few moments tonight by way of stirring you up. I hope it'll stir you up. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'll turn to that passage of Scripture, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. And if you'd stand as we read that verse, I would appreciate it very much if you're able to. Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's the fifth book of the Old Testament. Shouldn't have any problem finding that. Go to Genesis and fast forward to Deuteronomy. If you go too fast, put it in reverse and scoot back a little bit. But chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord." I read that verse of Scripture, and that phrase, evidently God knew that we were capable of forgetting. We forget who saved us. We forget what He's done for us. We forget where we used to be. We forget that we are what we are by the grace of God. And we forget that if anything is going to be worthwhile, it'll have to be done for His glory. So He says, beware. Stop. Take this in. Listen. Put it together. Don't move aside. Keep heading forward. Keep your eyesight towards glory. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Father, touch us tonight. We need a fresh touch from thee. I pray that you'd have your way in what's said and done in this place, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that there's a danger, and if I had a title for this message, it would be "The Danger of Forgetting God." I think there's a danger in our day as God's children, and I'm talking to God's children, that we forget the God that we serve has brought us out of this world, has changed us and put something in us that we could not do in and of ourselves. We forget that He is a God that needs no help. And He is a God that cannot be impressed. He is a God that will take us as far as we need it to go. He will do for us what we need done for us. And we need not take a back seat to anybody. But yet in all of these years that we walk with God, in all that we do with God, we have a tendency, because we all have one common denominator, and that is we are eat up with the flesh. And this flesh can lead us astray. It can lead us away. It can get us to the place that we close our eyes to the things of the great and almighty God that needs no help but yet chooses to help us. And so as we look tonight briefly at a few things, there are some things really that cause us to lose sight of our God, or that we can forget what our God has done for us. And I believe on the top of the list is problems. There's not a person in this building tonight that does not have a problem. I remember years ago as a young preacher, and my God, that has been years ago. But years ago as a young preacher, I remember being rebuked for making a statement that I'm fixing to make. I said, "Oh, my God," I said, "Man, I got a problem." And I said, "I want you to pray for me that God will help me in this situation." And I had a spiritual giant, which was not a spiritual giant at all. He was an idiot. But came up to me after the service, and he says, "Young man," he says, "God has no problems." Well, I didn't have the wisdom. Don't have that much now, but I didn't have that much wisdom at that time, and I was not as sharp as I am now. And I didn't think about it till I got home. God never has had a problem. No truer words have ever been spoken. But I'm not God. And so therefore, I got problems. I got problems tonight. I'm not that spiritual and not that high strong that I'll tell you I don't have a problem in the world. I do have problems. I've got problems in the family. Oh, it's not a critical thing that's going to be life or death, but there's some problems in the family I'd like to see solved. I've got some problems in the church. Although it's as good as it's going good, the grace of God is flowing, the glory of God is there, but there are problems with that little over 200 people that God's given me that I have. I have problems. And I know you don't believe this, but I got a problem with a whole lot of people. There are some people that are in my life right now I have a problem with. And if I'm not careful, I'll let these problems get my eyes off of the God that I serve, and I'll start majoring on those problems and forget where He's brought me from and forget why He's got me in that pulpit and forget why He's got me in this world. Last time I checked, this world doesn't evolve around me. The last time I checked, God doesn't operate according to my standards. The last time I checked, He's still the God that He's always been. And He says, don't worry about how I'm going to take care of you. Don't you forget that I brought you out, that I'm going to take you in. I don't know what your problem may be tonight, but every one of us here have problems. Now you can jump up and say, oh, I have no problem. You'll have about something else too. Every one of us has got a problem that we'd like to see taken care of. Now, granted, you don't need to let that problem rule your life. You don't need to let that problem dominate you. You need to realize that you've got a God in glory that'll see to your problem. He allowed it to start with. Okay. Secondly, not only is there a danger in forgetting God because of all the problems I face and in my problems, not only is that danger there and I lose sight of Him, but predicaments. It may not be a problem, but it's just a predicament. My God, aren't we in a predicament now? This predicament. Let me give you a biblical illustration. They're the best kind. I remember reading where that the children of Israel were delivered over in Exodus. And buddy, they'd been in bondage 430 years. They'd cried out to the God of glory. And before they got out of the place good, they were complaining. Been better off to die in Egypt. They didn't really believe that. They'd cried out for 430 years to leave it. God granted them their request. He sent them a man of God. And God began to lead them. I'm going to tell you one thing. If Moses and God had ever gotten together on whose people they really were, they'd have been wiped off the face of the map. God didn't want them at one time and Moses intervened. Moses didn't want them and God intervened. And I'm going to tell you something. We better thank God tonight that somebody intervened on our behalf. When nobody wanted us, thank God He did. He intervened. He came to where we were. Now what you talking about the predicament? Well, they come out of the land. They started heading towards where God sent them. But they start looking back and Pharaoh's army, chariots of iron, horses were coming after them. But they were in a predicament. They couldn't go to the right. They couldn't go to the left. They certainly couldn't turn around and go back. So they said, we'll march on, we'll march on, we'll march on. And better they start to march into the gap. But, alas, they came to another predicament. The Red Sea. What are we going to do now? Moses said, I don't know. So he said, God, what are we going to do now? And God said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to stand still and see me work. Why? Because you ain't got a thing to do with what I'm doing. Praise God, you just be obedient. Hold that rod up and watch us see part. I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, when the Red Sea closes up on you, when you face the Red Sea and the devil's crowd behind you, if you're not careful, you'll forget that you were behind that blood. You'll forget that you'd been delivered. You'll forget that He's the one that brought you out. I'm telling you, it makes no difference what predicament we get in. We still got a God, hallelujah, that we can look to, we can cry out to, and a God that'll see us through. There's a danger. So problems, predicaments, and prosperity. Prosperity. Oh God, if we are not careful, when God opens up the windows of glory and blesses us and everything we have God gave to us, this work is a result of God doing this for you. This is not man's work. This is God's work. Amazing Grace Baptist Church is not what man is doing. It's what God's doing. Calvary Baptist Church is not man's work. That's God's work. Everything that we have, everything that we do, everything that God has given us, it's all because of His goodness and His grace that we didn't deserve it, but He done it for us anyway. Don't you ever get your eyes off of God and look around and says, look what I've done. As the king says, look at my garden. Look at all of these things that I have hanging in my garden. Look at what I've done here. If you're not careful, you'll get your eyes on you. You have eye problem that glasses can't take care of. But that's called pride. We are not careful because of our problems. If we are not careful because of our predicaments, if we are not careful because of our of the prosperity God that's given us, we can forget where God brought us from and where we in this thing for to start with. Let me give you three things and I'll be through. Why should I not forget God? First of all, because of His bigness. Bigness. He's a big God. He's bigger than all your problems. He's bigger than everything that you will ever face. He's bigger than everything that's ever been in this world and everything that ever will be. He's the God, thank God, that's so big that you can't contain Him. You can't hem Him up. You can't box Him up. You can't push Him aside. Praise God, but yet He's so small that He'll come inside of every one of His children and take care of every one of us. Thank God He's a big God and there's no problem that's too big for Him. There's no situation that's too big for Him. There's nothing that I can come up against that the God that I serve cannot take care of. Peter says, don't put you in remembrance of these things. You know this stuff. It's preached to you. It's drilled in you. You know this, but it's good for us to remember it. Amen. Remember the next problem you're up against. Remember when you are in a predicament. Remember when God prospers you. Who is in charge? He's a big God. He's bigger than the devil. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He's a big God. Satan's tried ever since God created him. Satan has tried to take over the throne, tried to be in God's position. But I want you to know that'll never happen. And I bless His holy name tonight that I've got a God that makes no difference how bad the devil is, how big the devil is, makes no difference where the devil comes from and what the devil tries to put on me. I've got a God that's bigger than the devil, and the devil is a defeated foe. Praise His holy name when the temptations come and all these other things come. You've got a God that's bigger than the devil. Devil has no authority over you. The devil has no authority over your family. The devil has no authority. And only authority he has is what you give him. Your God's bigger than the devil. So don't give the devil any credit. He's bigger than the demons. Now I want to tell you something. A lot of our Baptist churches, I've been preaching all over this country. And I've been in some Baptist churches. That they don't actually believe that demons are real. But I'm going to tell you something, bless your heart. It ain't no doubt in my mind, ain't a few of them sitting here tonight. I'm going to tell you something, bless your heart. Demons are real. And they are not the departed soul of the dead. They are the crowd that fell with the devil when he fell. And that's the crowd that's ruling and reigning in this world and in our churches that we're living in tonight. God deliver us. But thank God he's bigger than any demon that you'll ever face. God's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than demons. And he's bigger than deities. My God, this crowd today talks about who God is. They wouldn't know God if he crossed the street in front of them. We've got church members sitting on the pews, never been genuinely saved by the grace of God. They don't know anything about God. They don't know that God, how big he is. And when God does do something for them, they step back and say, look what we've done. I'm going to tell you something. If God had not have moved on us, if God had not have breathed on us, if God had not have given it to us, we would not have anything. He's a big God. All of these, you can preach a message in and of themselves. Secondly, don't forget God, not only because of his bigness, but because of his blessings. Whew. I think one of the things that we fall short of in our day is we get to talking and counting our blessings and we forget the blesser. We have the blessings because of the blesser. I like what Psalm 73:1 says. Truly God is good to Israel, even as such are of a clean heart. Thank God, I'm glad that we have a good God. Glad Nahum said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the time of trouble. Thank God, he knoweth them that are his. He is a good God. Truly God is good. Surely God is good. He's the righteous God. He's the blessed God that has given us our salvation. We've been delivered. God's children have something to shout about. God's children have something to be glad about. God's children have something to praise God about. Even in your darkest valley, you look back and say, thank God I don't have to go to hell. Thank God I've been delivered by the grace of God. Thank God I belong to the God of glory. Thank God he's still on the throne. Oh, the blessings of God. What a blessed thing it is to know that salvation is of the Lord. That God has saved our miserable soul. He's given us that which we do not deserve. And not given us that which we do deserve. That's goodness and mercy and grace. Thank God the blessings of his strength. Oh, I'm so glad the Lord is my light and my salvation. But I'm glad that God is my strength. In my innermost being, he's everything that I need. In my weakness, I become strong. He's the one that I draw strength from. He's the one that will pick us up. He's the one that will never leave. He's a big God, but the blessings of God. He's our salvation. He's our strength. He's our shelter. Oh, when a storm comes, the first thing you want to do is make sure you've got shelter. When the storms come, you want to make sure that you're protected. Your family's protected. You want to make sure that the storm's not going to blow you away. That right. The storm's not going to kill you. That is, if you got any sense.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to tell you something. Spiritual storms come. Boy, we're in this valley. We're in this day that we're in. If these storms will come our way, you can run anywhere you want to, but you better run to the shelter.
Yeah.
You better run to him. Amen. You better run to the one thanks be unto God that will see you through and the one that will take care of you and the one that's your shelter in the time of the storm. I got a picture hanging in my hallway at the church. At our church in that hallway, going back to the Sunday school rooms. And my favorite picture is lighthouses all on the side. That's the theme of it, it's lighthouse. And there's a lighthouse there. And all around that lighthouse, that is a raging storm that's coming. I mean, the waters are raging up against it. And they're thrown up. And you see the water coming from it. You see that? Boy, I tell you, and as I walk down the hall, and as I look, and as I begin to look at that, I said, my God, what is that showing us? What is that trying to tell me? And I got to looking, and my wife was standing beside me one day. She said, what are you looking for? I said, this storm here and all this stuff. I said, I'm not really getting the picture here. And she says, well, look right there. And she pointed her little finger to that little window in that lighthouse. And in that little lighthouse is a little bird. In the window, sitting right there, safe from the storm. Praise God. I want you to know this big bird has been in the window a lot, many, many times, safe from the storm. Oh, it's just sitting there, just perched on that thing, just as calm as you ever seen anything with the waters raging and with the wind blowing and everything going about it. He was just sitting right there, just perched on that thing, looking around like not a care in the world. I'm going to tell you, praise be unto God. He is our shelter in the time of the storm. Thank God for the blessings of God. So that's the bigness of God. Oh, He's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than the demons. He's bigger than deities. There's the blessings of God. We should not lose sight of Him. We should remember Him and not forget God because of that. But don't you forget God and don't lose sight of Him. Third thing, because of His breath. The breath of God, His Spirit. When God breathes on you, it can't be anything but life. I've been in some services dead as a hammer. I've been in some services shouting it from the housetop. But some of the best services I've ever been in my life is when there's a quietness. And it goes, whew. Elijah says, hey, he stepped out on that place. God was not in the whirlwind. God, you ought to have been at the church today. My God, they was kicking over pews. They was running around. They was swinging from the chandeliers. You ain't never in your life seen such a thing. But God, and God may have been in some of that. But God was not in the whirlwind. Oh, God, preacher, you ought to have been at the church today. The fire was there. Well, depending on whose fire you're talking about. I go to church every Sunday where there's a fire. I got some fire-breathing dragons. God won't end the fire. Oh, He has been. And He is. But that particular time, He won't end it. What was He in? That still, small voice. He was in the breath of God. I've stood to preach, reached back to get it, and it was gone. I've depended on flesh and fell flat on my face. Wanting the fire to fall. Till God, I called the fire down from heaven today. Destroyed the sorry crowd. Caught in 1,000 miles of it. Get up and think you're a complete flop. And he go, whew. You can say what you want to. And son, we got enough past knowledge to operate for a long time. But I want fresh oil. I want the breath of God. I want the breath of God in my church. Thank God for people coming and said, boy, that's a fiery church. Boy, he's a fiery preacher. I'd rather have said that and said, man, he's a dud. Thank God for the fire. And sometimes God's in that fire. But I love for them to come and they leave and say, we ain't never seen it on that fashion. We need to understand and not forget the breath of God. For without the breath of God, we cannot survive as a church. You can operate, but you cannot survive. If the God of glory does not breathe at Liberty Baptist Church, it'll die. If the God of glory does not breathe at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, it'll die. If the God of glory is not breathing at Calvary Baptist Church, it'll die. because life is in the breath. And thanks be unto God. God breathed into man a living soul, but He also breathed into His church the Spirit of God that is a flame that we need to understand. He is the one that operates. He's the one, thank God, that participates. He's the one that does the convicting. He's the one that we talk to and praise God. He points people to Jesus Christ. How precious Lord. We've forgotten He's a person. He's the most sensitive person here. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be lied to. I apologize. I got a hernia. It's hurting. We can be lied to. He can be lied to. You correct me if I'm wrong after the service. Don't correct me while I'm preaching. I have heard people say, oh, that bunch of lost people. That was there. I said, boy, ain't no way God could work in that mess. Said they lost their grieving the spirit. Well, if I know my Bible and I study it right, lost man ain't going to grieve God. He don't. That lost man don't have the Spirit of God in him. If I know my Bible right, the grieving and the quenching comes by a saved person. And God's children forget where God brought them from and forget what God's done and forget what He's doing for them. And we grieve God by not giving Him the glory of saying, look what God's done. Look where God's brought us from. Look what God's doing for me. The breath of God, the church cannot survive without it. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. Are you witnessing the power of God? Are you a changed creature? Are you giving God the glory? Remember, He saved you for a purpose. The breath of God. Without the breath of God, we could not survive as a church. We could not and we cannot succeed as a Christian. If thou have any success, it's because God's working through me. And I close with this. We could not stand as a comrade without the breath of God. Beware lest you forget God. Stir up your mind, pure minds, by way of remembrance that God's a big God. That God's a blessing God. And God's a breathing God. He's alive. Father, thank You tonight for letting me come. Lord, for working this out. Even in these situations and these circumstances, I know You're right in the middle of it. Thank You for this man of God here at this church and these people. Bless them, Lord. Put the shield around them. We'll thank You and praise You. And may none of us forget where You brought us from. May we remember where You're carrying us and who we represent. In the bloodstained name of our Savior, amen. Thank You very much.